When people think of Detroit and Henry Ford, they think of cars or the Model T. Healthcare usually isn't the first thing that comes to mind, but many healthcare innovations are emerging at the Henry Ford Innovation Institute in Detroit, Michigan. It's aiming to enhance patient care and research through creative ideation. The Institute implements defined and rapid processes for vetting new inventions and utilizes the Henry Ford Health System to prototype and test new medical care innovations. Hi, I'm Rod Pihowski, Senior Director, Health Information Systems here at HIMSS, and today we have Dr. Scott Duchovsky, the CEO of the Henry Ford Innovation Institute and the Chairman of Surgery at Henry Ford Hospital in Detroit, Michigan. Welcome, Dr. Duchovsky.
It's a pleasure to be with you this morning, Rod.
So one of the interesting things about your institute is it's comprised of artists, scientists, and I understand you even have a former Hasbro toy designer on staff. Can you tell us more about what the Innovation Institute is and what kind of work you're doing there?
Sure thing, and I'll hearken back to your introduction. Henry Ford Health System was started by Henry Ford 100 years ago, and he was probably one of our most noted innovators in American history. When he started our hospital, he similarly had broad ideas. He brought Ford Motor Company engineers in, and they did things such as introduced the first ever hospital bed that had an elevated foot and back part. They innovated the hospital tray that we now use in every hospital as well. And we similarly embrace that thought process here in getting disparate people together to solve wicked problems in medicine. Some of the creative people that you mentioned who don't normally see patients as I do come in with novel ideas and new ideas. Sometimes they're wacky and sometimes they're brilliant, and as evidenced by some of the products that have been coming through the Innovation Institute.
Can you give me an example of maybe something that might be wacky but also brilliant?
Sure. I've been in healthcare for 40 years, and I see patients, hundreds of them, every day. And they have worn a standard hospital gown as long as I was a medical student. And so I never gave second thought to somebody walking down the hall and their backside hanging out. I had some graphics designs and some clothing design people on a student immersion from the College of Creative Studies here in Detroit, and they saw this and they said, "You got to be kidding me! This is the best thing we can do." And so we innovated the new hospital gown that's gotten a lot of notoriety, and it has much more respectful for patients. Doctors and nurses were involved in the design process, so it's got the access that we need as care providers. Patients were involved in terms of respectful and comfort of wear, and now we are producing this with a local manufacturer, and we hope that this goes nationwide at the end of this summer. So that's something that I would not have thought of absent these bright young minds with a new point of view.
And it's one of those really cool things that helps with patient satisfaction, comfort, and trust with the organization. I would imagine that helps their sense of belief that your organization really cares about them as people, too.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up because, it has been a neglected component of healthcare. Basically, we were just delivered it to a patient, and they were not as participant in the past as they are now, and this is a huge component of that. So they now know we hear their voice. And another thing that I've been very proud of at our new Innovation Institute here is listening to our employees as well. So when they come in with ideations about ways to do their job better, and it's not just a physician or even a nurse, it can be people from housekeeping, it can be people from facilities, it can be people from central processing and that come to us with a problem, sometimes with or without a solution, and we work together in ideation stations to try and come up with a solution. And sometimes it's an ergonomic one, sometimes it's a completely novel software, Sometimes it's a device, sometimes it's a process. So it's really been engaging for our workforce beyond our patients.
Dare I ask, is it fun?
You know, healthcare is a difficult part, a difficult job nowadays with so many of the changing reimbursement streams, the level of care that we now have to provide, the scrutiny that we're under. To be able to think outside of the box and actually have a mechanism that we can affect some of those changes in a relatively rapid cycle, this is one of the funner parts of my job.
You've been around now as an institute for over 100 years, right?
Yes, almost 100 years. 2015 is our 100th anniversary.
Okay, so we'll round up and call it 100 years.
Yes.
One of the things that we run into a lot when we're talking about innovation here at HIMSS with our committee and our innovation community is how do you create an environment of innovation, and then how do you sustain that over time? Now, you've got a long history of that at Henry Ford. Have there been bumps in the road, and have you modified your take on how to manage and lead that environment of innovation?
You know, Rod, that's a great question and observation. We would like to think that innovation is in our DNA here at Henry Ford. Many large corporations suggest this as well, but I think it's really critical what your effector organ is to promote that. So Henry Ford is a health system, is a $5 billion enterprise, and our primary mission is healthcare. And that, of course, requires innovation. But like any large organization, there are many layers of bureaucracy associated with that. And to get a novel idea to a prototype or certainly to a commercialization stage was not in our direct book of business. So we did have a small enterprise that did that, but it was unwieldy. And it was sort of off in a corner. It was somebody's third job, and so we thought, no, we were really gonna promote this. And so we went through a number of processes, and we thought, if we really want to do this right, this has to be a completely separate entity. That this is their whole function. And so we formed a completely separate corporation, a 501c3, not for profit, that's owned by Henry Ford Health System, but has a little bit more degrees of freedom and opportunity to move faster like a startup would. And so we first formed that. Secondly, we didn't have somebody such as me who might be a relatively good clinical surgeon and perhaps a bulldog, but my primary professional career was not about commercialization. So we went after best in class in terms of IP protection and commercialization and product design and that. And we scoured the country, and we were able, with the help of a number of people, including our HR department, to recruit those people whose sole mission is innovation. Thirdly, you need support from the top. And so we were able to successfully negotiate the corporate structure here and convince our board and our CEO that this was a necessary thing to be a primary focus at Henry Ford Health System. And then finally, we were able to get the appropriate resources through a wide variety of sources to give us the runway to get this off the ground until these commercialization components come to fruition.
And over time, you have to take stock of your innovative track record, and at the same time, I would imagine you also need to be able to take a frank, fresh look at previous innovations and evaluate whether or not it's time for them to be improved upon.
Oh, absolutely. And and finally, we need great ideas, right? And so we have 30,000 employees here at Henry Ford Health System in that, and everybody is an idea in that. So we had to come up with an engaging way to, first of all, funnel all of those in, and rapid cycle evaluate them, and then in a very conscientious manner give rapid cycle information back to the ideer to say, you know, this is a great idea, and this is the course that we're going to go with this, and we're going to provide resources, or perhaps even more importantly going, you know, this one's just not quite ready for us, and here's why it isn't, and here's some ways that you can go forward with it should you choose to, or here's some suggestions that'll improve the next idea that you bring to us. And so we've had some people that have brought 15 or 16 before we gave them a yay. So I think we've done a really good job with that. Another thing is, you know, we are not the curators of all of the good ideas. So we have sought out enabling partnerships with institutions locally and regionally, and with corporations and foundations, and that to be one of the effectors of this, because Henry Ford Health System, being such a large, longitudinal, and comprehensive health system, we're a darn good learning lab to trial these new ideas prior to real time.
Have any of your innovations been directed at the way you interact with the community or the delivery system that you use? And I guess I'm thinking in terms of, you know, Detroit and the metropolitan areas got some challenges. And have you had any, you know, interaction with that?
Absolutely. So Henry Ford has been a part of the community for 100 years, and that, and certainly part of our region. We're one of the major employers in the city of Detroit. And you can broadly characterize our innovations in terms of commercial ability, something that will actually lend itself to be a spin-off company or a royalty stream or something we'll make money at, or in mission-based. And that might just be something we'll never make any money, but it's the right thing to do. And one of these mission-based things that we've been very successful to date and may, in fact, paradoxically turn into a revenue opportunity for us, although it wasn't initially designed to be that, relates to empowering health information. So Henry Ford Hospital sits right in the middle of downtown Detroit, and we see people at end of disease all the time. And so how can we get empowering health information to these folks at perhaps greatest need? And so we partnered with the local faith community on a faith-based initiative that had to do with us developing these very high-tech kiosks that provide targeted health information for the things that we see every day: high blood pressure, heart disease, stroke, alcoholism, cancer, into these large churches that see huge numbers of our potential patients every week, and delivered it in a mechanism that was easy to digest. And so now we've had these in our local churches, and it's an ever-expanding group, in that we've had virtually thousands of interactions through these kiosks. And I can't tell you the countless stories that people have gone through that and go, oh, that sort of sounds like Bob, or boy, I have those symptoms, and then they'll go the next level to seek some level of health. It's actually been so successful in that environment that they've now asked us to expand to allow these to be placed into schools. So this will take the place of your gym teacher doing your health information, that's at least the way I received it when I was a kid, to give you more evidence-based health information that's appropriate for your age. So I think that is one of those areas that's really been impactful in our community through one of the innovations of the Henry Ford Innovation Institute.
You do things to innovate within the organization, and as you just explained, you reach out to the community. So one of the cool things that I would like to hear more about is even farther out there, so to speak. Tell us about astronauts and cosmonauts, what you've done.
All right. Yeah, this is sort of a sidelight, but it does tie into innovation in that. So I've worked with our space program for now 20 years, and it's trying to empower healthcare initially on the shuttle and now on the International Space Station, finally looking beyond to Moon and Mars. And some of the challenges that I have doing that are very similar to what we see in impoverished communities here and certainly globally. So we have a lack of equipment on the space station. We have a lack of trained medical personnel. While they're, you know, astronauts and cosmonauts are brilliant folks, the majority of the time they are not medical folks, and things happen. And so we had to get very innovative, and they had an ultrasound machine, and you may be familiar with those from telling you the sex of your unborn child or whether you have gallstones or things like that. We had one of those up in space, and it was for research uses, and so we started pushing the boundaries for using that for other ailments. And so now we've come up with almost 500 things that we can utilize it for that, frankly, you would not have thought of before on the planet, because we can get a CAT scan or an X-ray or an MRI here. And so now, while I provide these basically on a weekly basis for our participants in spaceflight, we've now been able to bring those techniques that we learned back to the planet to allow care to be extended in areas that you wouldn't have direct access to a high level of medical care. And so now we will diagnose problems in, say, the Olympics or at a sporting arena or in a rural environment, utilizing one of these portable devices and telecommunicating back to a larger center. And this has now been very popular globally, where we're working with the United Nations, the World Health Organization, and others. So I guess that's a process innovation that we initially started here at Henry Ford that has gone up in space and now back to our planet. So that's just one element of what you can do when you're presented with a problem, with a lack of resources, and with a real need.
Excellent. Can you share any other projects that you're working on right now?
Well, sort of in line with what we've been talking about a global need, we're starting to look at some of these base of pyramid problems. So most large device companies and manufacturers are trying to sell to that tip of the pyramid, that 5% of the global market that has lots of resources, willing to spend an awful lot of money, whereas the greatest need is down at the base of the pyramid. So we're now working with Karl Storz, who's a large international manufacturer of devices and medical equipment and things, looking at how we can take these very expensive devices and sort of de-engineer the capabilities a little bit. So how do you take a $50,000 machine, make it a $500 machine, and obviously the functionality would be a little bit less, but it can still answer a question. Are you sick or not? Do you need to go to a higher level of care? So that's something that we've been very interested in, because I think this will probably be one of the models that we can then bring back to care here in a developed world, because we are really looking at reimbursement challenges across our nation. I think that's going to be a huge area of opportunity. Another thing that we're pretty excited about is since our Innovation Institute is so new, we've been able to look at what people have done across the country well and not well, and we've been able to cultivate those good things to provide a little bit more agnostic way of doing business. For example, if you go to a large university, if you're a manufacturer and you go to a large university with a problem, more likely than not, that university has a very proscribed way of dealing with intellectual property and with relationships with companies. We can be a little bit more free-flowing with that. So we can serve more as an application engineer. It's not necessary for us to own the intellectual property. And whereas most purely academic organizations are more interested in the research pursuits of that, getting publications, NIH grants, and things like that, that's great. We love those too. But we're just as interested in the application of those technologies to solve a medical problem. So I think in our corporate development models with the 20 or so manufacturers across our nation, they've found this to be a very refreshing new look at how to do business with an academic organization. So we've had some real successes with that and a number of products that we're starting to work on right now that frankly I can't talk about, that are a little bit too early to market.
Well, maybe we'll be able to get you in another year and have another conversation. We have time for one more question for you.
Sure.
So if you could, if there's one thing that you would share with our community of people who are interested in innovation and are trying to innovate at their organizations, if you could share one thing that you've learned through your work at the Institute regarding innovation and creative ideation, what would that be?
I think every organization has very creative people. And I think by the nature of most organizations, they are not built to promote that. And so you have all of this unbridled creativity. And the question is how to constructively let that out. And so how to find those real innovators, that handful at every company that's going to come up with the lion's share of the great ideas. And so we've now started these internal and external challenges. So we will come up with a problem. So our last one was avoidable hospital readmissions, which is a real challenge to any large health system. And so we cast a broad net across the whole health system in that. We had a modest prize, cash prize. But the real prize on this one was you could work with the innovations team on your idea. And so we had a variety from across the platform of our health organization, from physicians and nurses to physicians assistants and everybody else in that with these ideas. And we had an external judging panel in that, and we came up with finalists and then ultimately five semifinalists in that, every one of which was a great idea. In fact, we've chosen not to support one, but three of those ideas, two of which are going to turn into products. But I think the best thing that came out of that beyond the products were the engagement that we had from all our employees. And we had comments such as, I never thought I'd get to do this at work ever. This has been such a great experience in that. And I can't put a numerical value on what that's worth to an organization in that. But we now have a whole extended family of innovators that we can call on in all of the disciplines. So just getting to know those real innovators and then providing a pull environment that is easy for them to interact with rather than being beat down for having their good ideas. I think that has been my greatest lesson to date with this, and it's been one of the most enjoyable parts of running the Innovation Institute.
It does sound like you're having a good time, and I hope a lot of our listeners will be able to implement some of this, and we'll get some more information from you and share some more thoughts during a future conversation. And that is, unfortunately, the amount of time we have for today. Our guest today has been Dr. Scott Dolchovsky, the CEO of the Henry Ford Innovation Institute and the chairman of surgery at Henry Ford Hospital in Detroit, Michigan. Dr. Dolchovsky, thank you so much for joining us today. This has been a great conversation.
My honor to talk with you. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Innovation at 6. For more great podcasts, visit hims.org/podcasts. Music for today's podcast is brought to you through a Creative Commons license. Song title, Good to Go, by Josh Woodward.